At the Mishnah at the bottom of Tzadi Zayin Amud Bet, the Mishnah says, "A mocher yain lechaveiro v'chmitz." Person sells wine to his friend, turns into vinegar. Enu chayav v'chrito. He's not responsible for the wine because he sold him wine. It was wine when he sold it to him. Therefore, he's not responsible for it. V'im yadua sheyeno machmitz. If a person already has a reputation or a regular occurrence that his wine turns into vinegar, quality of wine that he produces, then the whole principle of the sale, underlying the sale, was mistaken, because it's well known that he sells wine that's going to turn into chometz, and therefore he can't represent this to be wine. If he says that I'm selling you yayin mevusam, which, you know, means wine that will last, right, for a duration or for a number of time, ani mochelecha, chayav lemidlo ad atzeret. It has to last until Shavuot. So if you, meaning that duration, or Yain Vusam, the qualification of that type of wine means it'll last until Shavuot. V'yashan, if he's going to sell him old wine, then it's Mishel Ashtakad. It has to be last year's harvest, or last year's production. U'miyushan, if he uses the term Yushan, then it's Mishel Gimel Shanim, 3 years ago. But 3 years ago doesn't mean, literally 3 years ago means 2 years ago. I mean, this is the third year. I mean, if Yashan means last year, right, then Miyushan means 2 years ago, and with this being the third year, the year that we're currently in being the third year. So those are just because of the way he formulates or states what type of wine he's expecting, that will determine how long the wine must last in order to fulfill the conditions of the sale. Now, Amar Rav Yossi b'Rabbi Chanina, lo shanu ela b'kankanim delokeach. This is all true if the wine was put into the utensils of the lokeach. Because then the mocher can say, listen, it was in your possession, and your utensils, your vessels, caused the wine to turn into chometz. Aval b'kankanim, the mocher, if they remain in the utensils or the barrels of the mocher, the seller, amalei, achamarcha v'chakankanecha. Then the buyer can say back to him, listen, everything that's wrong with this wine is yours, which is, it's your wine, it's your barrels, right? I didn't do anything here, so it's definitely your responsibility. It's your cause and your issue over here. So Mar says, "V'chi kan kanim de mocher my havi." He says, "You know, so what? Whatever. Even if they're the utensils and the mocher, what's the difference?" Meaning that the problem here is that you left the wine around for too long. Meaning that the buyer has the right to buy the wine and expect that he gets wine. How long it remains for wine really is dependent on what he is buying the wine for. Now, we had a machlokas before between Rav and Shmuel, whether we're holchim achar rov b'mamon. We pass in like Shmuel that ain't holchim achar rov b'mamon. But even according to Rav, here, people purchase wine, you know, purchase it for different reasons. They purchase it either for l'shu'ye, to leave it over for later on, to use for the mikpeh, for other items, or to drink it l'shtiyah for right away. So now, when the seller says to the buyer, listen, I sold it to you because I thought you were going to drink it right away, he has a good time now. I mean, that's a equally plausible reason that the buyer came to buy the wine. So why should the seller be responsible for the wine because the buyer left it over a long duration? That's not his issue. Maybe that there's a possibility that he just bought it to drink now. And that's what he said. I sold you wine that was good right now. Gemara says, no, tzricha d'amalei l'mikpeh. So here, the buyer has to stipulate that it's going to be for the mikpeh, means for, you know, usage over time, cooking, that he's going to use it little by little. So by stipulating the mikpeh, it means that it's clear to the seller that he expects the wine to last for a long time. So now, when he does that, and he says, I expect the wine to last for a long time, therefore, if it's in the kankanim of the mocher, and it's the wine of the mocher, he can blame it on the mocher.
And so, if it's in the kankanim of the konen, so why can't he still blame
him? Then the mocher can say, listen, it would have been fine, except that you moved him into bad kankanim. Right? So now Gemara says, my duchei de Rabbi Yossi b'Rabbi Chanina l'okmah mas nisan. What forced Rabbi Yossi b'Rabbi Chanina to set up our Mishnah b'kankanim de lokeach? It's a case that the kankanim belong to lokeach, and that's why the Mishnah says, miyadua sheyeno machmitz. I'm sorry, if Hamurchayan Khamir Khmitz Enu Khaya Bakhuto, because it's in the Kankanim of the Lokeach, and the Amar Leila Mikpeh. And he said, the Kimpe he makes in our Mishnah is that he specifically stated that it's going to be for cooking for long duration. So why not? Look for Bikan Kanim de Mocher, brief the Mishnah and say, no, it's still in the utensils of the seller. It's just a case where it's not for, right? It's not for long term duration. He never specified that he's going to use it for cooking or for the long term. So the din would be the same. The din is the same. The din the Mishnah lays out, which is that a mocher yad lechaveiro v'chmid, someone who sells wine to his friend, turns into vinegar, einu chaya b'achriyoto, that din is true in both of these cases. The one case where it's in the kankanim of the lokeach, right? But he said limikpeh. He said specifically that he wants the wine to last for a long duration, right? Or it could be the other way around. It could be that it's in the kankanim of the mocher, right? But he delomerle limikpeh. That he didn't say, right? It was for the mikpeh. Well, he didn't say it for the mikpeh. You can't blame it on the mocher anymore. Can't blame it on the mocher because a mocher can say, I thought you bought it for shtiyah. I didn't expect it to have to last for so long. I thought you needed it in 3 days. You're going to finish it up. You're going to drink up the whole barrel. So that's the case here. So the reason, our Mishnah could be established in one of two ways. Either in the kankanim of the lokeach, where the mocher can say, your kankanim caused the problem, so therefore I'm not responsible. Or in the case where it's in the kankanim of the mocher, but there was no specification in the mikpeh, the mocher can claim that it was l'shtiyah, that it was used for a drink. I expected to sell it to you to drink and not to last for a long time. So I don't know why you kept it around for so long. So Amarova Malitin Kashite. The problem was our Mishnah is problematic, and that's what forced Rabbi Yossi Ber Bechanina to explain the Mishnah this way. What's the problem in the Mishnah? Tani. Im yadua sheyenu machmitz, harzeh mekach ta'ut. If we know that his wine in general turns into chometz, that's a mekach ta'ut. Amai. Why? Leimele lo yibaylach l'shuyit. Meaning that the person can still say, why did you leave it around? Why did you keep this wine? If you drank it right away, it was wine when you bought it. Had you drank it in the next 3 days, the next week, it would have been fine. What are you keeping it around for a couple of months for? That's why it turned into vinegar. Why doesn't the mocher have that claim? The only reason he doesn't have that claim is because the buyer specified the mikpeh, specified that it was for cooking and for the long duration. So because of that, right, Rabbi Yossi Ber Bechanina was forced to say that our Mishnah is a case, the Amar Leh Mikpeh, where he said it was for long duration. And if that's the case, the only way you can explain it is if it's in Kankanim de Lokeach. That's the only way you can explain the first line in the Mishnah, which says that the Mocher is not responsible. That's if it's in the Kankanim de Lokeach. But if you're in the Kankanim de the Mocher, then Lokeach has a strong taina, which is, listen, I told you the Mikpeh, it's in your Kankanim, what did I do wrong? Then it turned into vinegar, you're responsible for it. So that's why Rabbi Yossi Ber Bechanina was forced to explain it that way. Now, this is all according to Rabbi Yossi Ber Bechanina. Upliga de Rabbi Chiya Bar Yosef. This argues that Rabbi Chiya Bar Yosef was a different explanation here, which is the Amar Rabbi Chiya Bar Yosef, Chamra Mazlo de Morei Gorim. Right? That this is, according to the Rashbam, this is something we saw before, that the Chamar, right, the wine of a person, right, whether it turns to vinegar or not, is the issue of the Baal of the wine. I mean, the owner of the wine, whoever owns the wine, it's his Mazlo, it's his Chataim that caused the wine to change or to ferment or turn into vinegar. So therefore, we have no responsibility. I mean, that once the mocher has sold it to the buyer, even if it's in the kelim of the mocher, and so you have kelim of the mocher, yain of the mocher, if he sold it when it was wine, no problem. It's not his issue anymore because it's the mazel of the lokeach that turned the wine into vinegar.
It's not that case. It's obvious that it's the mocher's fault.
Right, because there he's selling wine. That's problematic. Shenehemar v'avki yain bogeid, giver yahir. So they... yain, well, bogeid means, right, it will rebel. What is yain? Bogeid is that it turns into vinegar, right? It doesn't follow the normal process of wine fermentation. And therefore, giver yahir, it comes from here we're going to see in a second, but giver yahir, but the one who is haughty, but giver yahir is following the light or the way of a person, meaning that the person's, behavior will determine what happens to his wine. Mida keneged mida. A person acts in a certain way, his wine will change and turn into vinegar because of his behavior. So we clearly correlate between the behavior of the individual and the outcome of the wine or the wine turning into vinegar. Now it's interesting. Now we're going to see in a bit that the Rashbam wants the pasuk here like Chiya Bar Yosef, right, because of the fact that earlier on says Venir Bainai the Lay Silchasak Rab Yosef Khanial Krav Khirba Yosef, the Mazl the Garva Garmim, Elm can you do a Shayanim Machmitz, like you just said, right, David, then except in that one case where you know that Yeno Machmitz, right? Damar Lay the Mikpit, Dashmo Kavan Kavate. that Shmuel holds like them. Because Shmuel holds like him, number one. And Rabbi Yosef did an Uvda like Shmuel. But wait a minute, what did Shmuel say? That was what we said we had 2 days ago. Shmuel said, Shmuel amar, chamra katva demari shavar. Right? That the Rashbam over there interpreted when Shmuel made that statement neged Rav. Rav said it was 3 days was the threshold. Shmuel says, no, it all has to do with who owns it. Who owns it makes the difference. That's according to the Rashbam. The Rashbam explained that when Shmuel said, chamra katva demari shavar, that means that the mazel of an individual causes the wine to change. The Tosfos took issue with Shmuel's statement there and said, no, it has nothing to do with mazel. You know how I know it has nothing to do with mazel? Because if the Gemara wants to say mazel, it knows how to say that. By Chir Bar Yosef, it says that. Chamra mazel demari gorim. That's exactly the terminology used by the Gemara. The Gemara here is using a totally different terminology over here. It doesn't use mazel gorim. It uses what? A katva demari shavar. So there Tosfos explained, right? We had the Rabbeinu Tam, or the Rabbeinu Tam explains that it had to do with the transportation of the wine. Moving of the wine caused it, that you unduly shook the wine. You did something that was inappropriate to the wine, and that's what caused the difference. The Rashbam, based on the fact that the correlation between the Gemaras, it shows that Shmuel holds like Shmuel and Rav Chir Bar Yosef are saying the same thing according to the Rashbam. Therefore, he's willing to pass on the halacha like Chir Bar Yosef over here. So now the Gemara says, Amar Rav Mari, Hai Mon Diyohir, Afilu Ain She Beito Lo Mikabel, a person who is haughty, a person who is gastato, a person who projects certain characteristics or behavior that he doesn't have. Even on his household, he is not accepted. Now here, even though it's in the plural form, Inche Beite, over here the Rashbam says Ishto. Even his wife will not accept him, will not be mekabel such behavior, or allow him to get away with this and to lord over others and reject. Right. Although it's interesting, because of Inche Beite here, the fact that the Ashram terms it as Ishto is because of another Gemara, we talk about the Rasuna Moraim, they used to make Tchilta, they used to say Rami Tchilta, right, big day Inche Beite. They also used to put in Tchelet in the household, their household over there, the Rishonim discussed what is their household. Right, so many, some of the Rishonim actually over there comments that it's Ishto, that it's his wife. Also, that he put the tzitzis in. So over here, you see the Ashram interpreting Inche Beite to be Ishto. So I think that's it's important for other Gemaras also, that even though it's written in the plural, he classifies Inche Beite as Ishto. Right now, Shinemar, Gever Yahir, Velo Yinaveh. Right, so a person will be haughty, Velo Yinaveh, and he won't have no rest, he won't find a peaceful place. That's mean, my Velo Yinaveh, Benaveh Shalom, that even in his home, and is his home, his place of comfort, right? He won't find peace. I mean, that's why with his wife, right? Even in the place where it should be settled for him and he should have his status, even there he won't have any status. Anybody who walks around with the clothing of a Talmud Chacham, projecting himself to be a Talmud Chacham, and he's not a Talmud Chacham, they don't let him into the mechitzah of Kodesh Baruch Hu, meaning that the clothing of the Talmid Chacham was longer. Right? That was the idea, that they had a longer beged. I would say today something along the lines of the kapota, right? The frak, so that the people wear special begadim that indicate, right, a status, a certain malchus, and an ability to be that of a Talmud Chacham, so that he's not a Talmud Chacham. Why? Right, that was the puzzle we just called. Right, so that the person who's Yahir, who projects themselves beyond what they are, they're not a Talmud Chacham, they're showing that they are a Talmud Chacham. Lo Yinaveh, what does it mean, Lo Yinaveh? Shehid Kabel B'Naveh HaKodesh Kodshecha, which Naveh Kodshecha is the Mechitza of HaKodesh Baruch Hu. So Amar Rava, Hai Mon Dezovin LeChavita DeChamra LeChanoa. Person who sells a chavit, a barrel of wine to the storekeeper, Adate L'Zvuye, right, in order to him to sell it out, Vitakif, and it turns into vinegar, apalgo tilta with still half left or a third left, dina dehu de mekabale mine, that he has to accept it from him, right? So he has to. So let's explain what this is. So the Rashbam, it's actually Macholas Tosas and Rashbam had explained this Gemara. We'll go with the Rashbam first. Rashbam explains that basically this is a contingent sale. This is a sale on contingency, which happens today. You have this in retail today where you're able to, a supplier comes along and says, listen, you put this on the shelf. You sell it out. Whatever you don't sell out, you'll return to me. I mean, then I'm taking responsibility. You don't own it. I own it. meaning that it's not on my books. Yeah, I own it. The supplier owns it. And the only thing that the retailer is doing, or only thing that the storekeeper is doing in this instance, is providing the avenue for the sale. He's providing the effort and the avenue for the sale. So in this case, the Rashbam says, so if you sell a chavita of chamra to a storekeeper, and you never sold it, he never took possession of it. So adat lezvuye, and it's with the intention of providing over time to sell it out over time. Then betokif, it became vinegar. Pago atilta dino de mekabel emedine. The original owner has to take responsibility for it because he didn't mean that. He didn't ever take possession. If he didn't take possession, the only thing he agreed to do was to sell it out. And you know that if he's selling it out, that it's going to take time to sell out. So if it turns to vinegar in the interim, assuming that it was not poshea, assuming that it was not poshea with the wine, then it's a responsibility of the supplier. That's the way that Rashbam explains it. The Reed disagrees and says, no, that it sounds from Rava, Haiman du zavin le chavita. Zavin means to sell. To sell means that you took possession of it, that the storekeeper took possession of it over here. So the Ri, on the other hand, explains that Yolo Farish demired the Zavin Mecher Gamur, that it was a complete sale to the storekeeper. It was not a contingency sale, but rather a complete sale. But he specified, or he stipulated in the sale, that I'm going to sell it out. I'm buying it from you to sell in my store. And that's the equivalent of saying, Limikpeh. Right, because right, if I'm selling it in my store, there's no way I'm selling it in one shot. So, it's the equivalent of saying to the individual, I'm going to keep it over a long duration. Now, over that time, if I'm still selling to my store and it turns to vinegar, it's clear that you didn't provide me the wine that I stipulated. So, it's the equivalent of a balabait saying, the mikpeh is for a chanut owner, right, a storekeeper, to say, listen, I want to buy the wine to sell in my store. When he says that, it's obvious that he wants to sell it over a duration. The wine has to last that duration. So, that's the explanation according to the Ri, that he took full possession of it. But, nevertheless, he is responsible for it because it's the equivalent of saying Limikpeh over here. The only case here is he didn't change the tap. I mean, if he left the original tap in the barrel, and that the seller put the tap in the barrel, and he didn't put a new tap into the barrel. Because if he put a new tap in the barrel, we can blame the new tap for causing the wine to turn to vinegar. So as long as he didn't put a new tap in, we're fine. About Shani Bebarzel, again, if he changed that to tap, it's not. So this is your question. That's assuming that the market day hasn't come by yet. If the day market day has come already, and he didn't sell it out, then it's the chanut, the bala chanut's problem. Meaning that we put a certain obligation on the bala chanut to sell out the merchandise. Meaning that he can't just say, put it in his store, and put it in the back room, and put it in inventory, and say, listen, I'm going to sell it some other time. No. The expert is putting it in a year into his cellar and trying to wait to sell it out. Right? But rather, his expectation is that he's going to sell it over the near future, or the near term, in which plausibly he could sell out a whole barrel of wine. So we have a second member from Rava here. Hi, Mondakova Chamra, Adata Dematale, the Parvata Deval Shafot. So a person takes wine over here, and here he's mekabel v'chatzischar. Right? He's mekabel the way we've seen before, but we've seen him many times, which is that he says, listen, I want you, the wine here sells for X price. That's what it sells for over here. I want you to take it to this location called the Pavata, this place called Dval Shafat, or there's another possibility of a girsa here brought by the Mesir Shashas, which is that Tosu seems to say that the place was called Dzul Shafat. Right, but wherever this place is called, I want you to take it there because wine there sells for a high price. But I don't want you to sell it here. I insist that you take the wine to that location. V'adamati hatam zal. Right, so by the time he gets there, the wine price goes down. Right, dinahu demikabole, that he has to accept the responsibility. I mean that because the person who is the owner of the wine, who gave it over to the other party to share in the profit, told him he must go to this location to sell it. Since he demanded of him to go to sell it, if the price goes down by the time he gets there, then he has to take equal responsibility for the loss over here. The cause of the loss was the fact that he insisted that he goes to this location. So that means that they will share in the downside, like any other business dealings where you're together. You both share in the upside and you share in the downside. Here is downside, and the downside is not caused by the decision of the partner, but caused by the decision of the owner who says you must take it to this location. Therefore, he has to what? He has to accept responsibility for the losses over here. I mean, that means full responsibility. Full responsibility over here means that the decremented price is the problem caused by the insistence of the owner to go to this location. Now, for instance, for Gneiva and Aveda, it'd still be a 50-50 sharing over here. We say that he's Mekabel on himself, means he's Mekabel the issue that he caused. What was the issue that he caused? He caused him to go to the lower price location by insisting he goes to this location. So, Gemara says, well, Ibailahu, have a challah. My, what happens if it turns into vinegar? What's the din? I'm a Rav Hillel Rav Ashi, ki avenum bay Rav Kahana Marlan. Challah. No. That challah is milk. He's not responsible. He's not responsible vinegar. Utgalom ki Rabbi Yosef Rav Chanina. Not like the position of Rabbi Yosef Rav Chanina. That way it makes a difference if you say the mikpeh or not. Why? Because it's like, who is it like? Rav Chir Bar Yosef. Chir Bar Yosef says that it's the mazel of the individual. So here in this bed, the mazel of this individual caused the problem. The mazel of here. It caused this individual to have it go down or turn into vinegar. And therefore, in this case, the Balayayin does not accept all the Hefseid, right? But rather, only half the Hefseid. You have two owners over here. You have the original owner plus the investor who's going to take it out. The two of them together, their mazel caused it to turn into vinegar. Therefore, they will share in the responsibility. Suppose before where we said the decrement in price, right, was responsibility of just the owner. Over here, the chala will be the responsibility of both parties, like the position of Reb Chir Bar Yosef. Those that say, no, afilu chala nami mekabel, that the turning into vinegar is responsibility of the original owner. Kiman, who's like Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Chanina. That's like Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Chanina. Again, in this case, why is it like Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Chanina? Is because the fact that he said, I'm forcing you to take it to such and such a location, means it's equivalent. I'm saying lemikpeh. They're saying like I'm taking it for a long duration. If the wine can't last till the location that you told me to take it to, then obviously they didn't give me the proper wine to sell in this location because you knew I had to transport it to that location. In fact, that didn't last till there is your right responsibility, and therefore the owner, the original owner, takes full responsibility for the wine according to Rabbi Yosi ben Rabbi Chanina. So again, the nafkamina here in Rabbi's statement will be whether you hold like Rabbi Chir Bar Yosef, Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina, whether he has responsibility not only for the pricing differential, but also for responsibility for the fact to turn into vinegar over here. All right, now, Ta'ano, we have a rice of work, Umi Yashen, Volech Adachag. Now, when I say, in the Mishnah, we said, what? That there was three possibilities. It says, Yai Mibusam, which has to go until Atzeret, right, until Shavuot. We had Yashan, which was last year's wine, and then we said Miyushan, which was 3 years, which is really 2 years ago, that lasts for this year. It means until, it has to last until Sukkot. And it can't just be that it gets into the third year when you bought it, but it has to last until Sukkot, which is the Zman HaBatzir, right? That's basically what you're establishing, that this wine will last until the new crop comes in that third year. So it's not simply has to get through the third year, but into the third year, but you have to get all the way to the end of the third year, means till Zman HaChag, till Sukkot in the third year. Okay, now, Amocher Makom LeChaveiro. Person sells a place to his friend. V'chen Makabo Makom LeChaveiro LaSot Lo Beit Chanut. Or he accepts a location from his friend to build a Beit Chanut. Now, Beit Chanut is a Beit Chanut Livno, or a Beit Almanut Levito. So if he's trying to accept a place, he's going to build a location, his contractor comes along, and the individual says either sells to his friend some property, or a person accepts from his friend property to build. I mean, he's going to be a contractor and build such a location. To build a Beit Chanut Livno or Beit Armelut Levito. So these are extensions on the main house. In their day, and we're going to see this in a second, that the Chatan, the boy who got married from the family, used to move in with the parents. And they used to build them a small extension on the house to live with originally in the house. How big should this small extension be? So there we say, 4 by 6 amot is the size of the house for his newlyweds, their honeymoon suite. 4 by 6 amot, divrei Rabbi Akiva. That's what Rabbi Akiva says. Rabbi Shmuel Amer, refet bakar. He says, Huizu, this is a cow shed. When you talk about 4 to 6 amot, this is a cow shed over here. It says, so now, it's interesting, I just point this out, that when we say that Rabbi Shmuel Omer, Refet Bakar Yuzu, this is some sort of cow shed here, what does that mean? That it's a cow shed over here? He's saying to Rabbi Kiva, this is too small, right? It's too small to make a location like this. Now, it's funny because Rabbi Kiva is the Baal Mamra who says 4 by 6 amot, that possibly is a Refet Bakar. The Rebbe requires enough. Where did Rabbi Akiva, right, the Gemara in the Darim, where did Rabbi Akiva live after he got married? After he got married to Kaaba Savua, where did Rabbi Akiva live? In the stable, in the horse stable, right? So that's what Rabbi Akiva says, you know. Refin Bakar, 4x6, I'm old, that's a palace. You know what I lived in after I got married? I lived in a house, in a horse stable. This, Refin, this 4x6, I'm old, that's a nice location. Just funny to note that Rabbi Akiva is the Baal Memra of that 4x6, I'm old. Now, the Mishnah continues, it's not clear whose statement this is in the Mishnah, whether this is Rabbi Shmuel or Rabbi Akiva, and then the Gemara will ask later on. Tell us, Refin Bakar, Bonei, Dalad Amoto Shesh, brings 4x6. Bait katan, a small house, sheish al chet, is 6x8, gadol, big house, chet al eser, 8x10, times have changed, chaklein, right, a palace, but here, palace, the Rashbam says it's a place, not the tashmish, but rather the place, the mushav sarim, which seems like the seat of the government, or the seat of the throne of the sarim, not that it's like a living quarters, it's yud al yud, 10x10. Romo kechetzi arko chetzi rabo. The height of the house should be a sum of half the length and half the width. If you take the sum of half the length and half the width, that should equal the height of the house. Raya l'davar, I have a proof to such a issue. Then the question is, who made this statement? Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Omer, kebinyan eichal. Like the binyan eichal, which was, it was 40 by 20, the eichal. So when you take half of 40 is 20, half of 20 is 10, so it's 30 high. Right, so 40 by 20 and 30 high. So that's half of the height, half of the length of the width equal the height. So again, it's unclear here how to parse the end of this mission about who's making which statement. The Gemara will discuss that. The Gemara says, "Mamalei the Mitnah Beit Chanut Livno uBeit Amanut LeBito." Why does the Mishnah specify that the extension of the house was only built for his son who got married or his daughter who was widowed? Litnei Beit Chanut Livno LeBito should be an extension of the house for his daughter or his son. Right? Ubeit Almanut Livno LeBito. Again, the other way around. Or why shouldn't it be if he's a widower, right? Meaning that why shouldn't it be either way? So the Gemara says, Milsa Gavorche Kamash, when it comes to teaching something, so Darko the Chadno the Meidar Beit Chamua, that it's inappropriate for the son-in-law to live by the in-law's house. Gedim B'Sefer Ben Sirah, which is very interesting here, that the Gemara directly quotes the Sefer Ben Sirah, which I don't know, in other places the Gemara quotes Sefer Ben Sirah without any naming Sefer Ben Sirah. The Masoreth Shatz quotes it from there. But here it quotes directly from Sefer Ben Sirah. Akol Shakalti B'Kof Maznayim. I weighed all bad things. V'lamatzati Kal Misubim. I found nothing lighter meaning worse, than subin over here being, right, animal feed, animal food, the poorest quality food. I found nothing worse than that. Bekal mi subim, and worse than that, chatan adar beveit chamiv. It is a son-in-law who lives by his in-law's house. Bekal mi chatan, worse than that, is an oreach, machnis oreach, is a guest who invites over other guests. I mean, that inappropriate behavior here, that Baal Bayit is generous to invite this person over, and then he goes out and invites other people to join along. Bekal mi oreach, and worse than that is meshiv davar b'ter mishma. Someone answers a question, or jumps in to answer before he hears what the statement of the other individual is, shenemar, because it says, meshiv davar b'ter mishma yivelet hi, lo uchliva. That person who responds before they hear what the individual says is a perversion and an embarrassment that they should do such a thing. So these are like the Seder things. Now, what does the Seder Ben Sirah say? It seems to be that, as the Rashi points out, that a mother-in-law has an affinity towards her son-in-laws, especially towards her first son-in-law, and therefore we don't want the son-in-law to go live over by the mother-in-law's house because of this affinity the mother-in-law has for the son-in-law. Therefore, we say it's appropriate for the son to live by his parents or to live by his family. So therefore, we build the Beit Chanut by the family of the son. On the other hand, the Beit Armalut is the boat by the home, right? Because the daughter doesn't live by her family. Why doesn't she live by her family? Because her husband is the son-in-law to her parents, so he has to live by his parents. So she moves away to her in-laws, and if she's widowed, she's not going to stay in the in-laws' house. She's going to move back to her family. If she moves back to her family, that's when you need a Beit Amrulut. So this idea of Beit Chanut being for the son and Beit Amrulut for the daughter is because of the minhag, or how they were noeg, that the son always lived by the parents' house versus living by the in-laws' house. Even though by the Torah it says, Ken Yazov Ish, right? Et Aviv V'Imo.
Exactly.
Right, but it says Yazov, right, that he will leave. Over here, he's staying by his parents. But that would seem to be the minhag in their day, although it seems to have changed again in these days, that generally people live closer to their in-laws than to their parents. So refet bakar man katani lo. The next statement in the Mishnah, harot se lasot refet bakar, boneh dalet oshes, beds 4x6. Who makes that statement? There's some that say it's Rabbi Shmuel katani lo. That's Rabbi Shmuel, which makes sense. Rabbi Shmuel says to Rabbi Akiva, listen, you want to make a Beit Chanun 4x6, that's a refet bakar. And then he makes this to finish out the Mishnah, refet bakar 4x6, house 6x8. So that's the possibility of reading the Mishnah. It is Rabbi Akiva's statement. So what do you mean, Rabbi Akiva Ktani law? Rachi Kamar, and this is what it means. Alpha Bish Refet Bakar Hi. Right, that pamim shadam osin dirato k'refet bakar. Sometimes people make their dira like a refet bakar. Right, v'ikadama Rabbi Shmuel k'toni lo. And some people say that Rabbi Shmuel, right, said it. V'achik amar, rotze lasot refet bakar osin arba amot oshesh. So right, the two possibilities how to read the continuation of the Mishnah is the continuation of the Mishnah of Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Shmuel. Right, the easiest way to read it is Rabbi Shmuel, who said to Rabbi Akiva, listen, 4x6 is a refet bakar. And then he goes out and enumerates what are the sizes. 4x6 refet bakar, house, 6x8, so on and so forth. Or it could be Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva says, no, you're right, the refet bakar is 4x6. But a Beit Chanut is not a house. A Beit Chanut is simply an extension on the house, right? It's natural growth, as Alan explained before. That's 4x6. You don't need a full house. You need something that's an extension of the house. That's 4x6. So sometimes people make it like a refet bakar. So Rabbi Akiva doesn't disagree with the fact that 4x6 is a refet bakar. He just thinks that's what's appropriate for a Beit Chanut. Those are two possibilities of how to read the Mishnah. Okay, Traklin Yud Al Yud. My Traklin. What is a Traklin? Kupta Beivarde. I don't know. The Rashbam explains that Kupta is Kain Kuba Shel Zonot. Right? It's a place where the harlots hang out. It's made like a cube that has lots of windows. They put in beautiful roses there to make it beautiful. So, I don't know, it's a place, again, before he said a place of Moshav Sarim. It's the location of the seat of government or where the Sarim live. So it has, it's a square area of 10 by 10 that has lots of windows with roses and beautiful adornments of sorts. So that's the description of what a Traklin is. Tani, the Kantir is a Kantir. Which means that if he said, I'm going to make you a kantir, he has to do shtemisre, I'll use shtemisre. Let's make 12 by 12. My kantir, tarbet apadne. It's a big, we call it courtyard. I think that's a proper explanation here. It's a chatzer gadol that the serim make outside of their palaces, outside of their places where they live. That they, the reason it's called tarbet is because they always have to sprinkle it with water to keep the dust down. So it's called a kantir, which is a tarpei tzapadne, which is the place that you always sprinkle next to the house, which is the courtyard. Romo kechatziar kol chetzi rachbo, raya ledavar b'shem lomer k'bien eichal. So now, raya ledavar man katani lo. Again, how do you parse this mission? Raya ledavar, who said this? Some people say it was Rabbi Shimon Gamliel said it. This is what he means. Raya ledavar. The Tanakhama said, listen, you have to have Romo kechetzi arko chetzi rachbo. So he interjects, comes in, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, and says, Rayala Dabar, I have a proof to you, Minayin, I'm Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. If you do it like the Eichal, that makes sense. Vigadamar, Tanikana, Tanakhama Ketanila. It's something that say that it's a Tanakhama. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, Tumuya Kametamo. He's incredulous that, that the Tanakhama would say such a thing. Hachikamar lay the Tanakhama. Raya Minayin. So it's, he's saying it back to it. Achi kamarle the Tana kamar raya min ayin min binyan eichal ato kuli amo ke binyan eichal avde. So what is he saying? What the bimia, right? The Rabbi Shimon Gamliel is saying what you want to say. He interjected. He didn't let the Tana kamar finish his words. Right? Not like we just said before in Sefer Ben Sira. He didn't let him finish. He jumps in. He interjects and says, "What you want to make everybody build their? You know, when you say raya ledavar, you want everybody to build it from like the eichal. Doesn't make any sense." Tanya, Achim Omrim Romo Kekorotaf. Achim that say that the height is like the beams, the cross beams. The beams that go across the width of the house, that's how high the house should be. Vlemo Romo Kerachbo. It's just easier to say that the height is like the width of the house. Where it says, Ied Vayimah Beita Milai Ravach. The problem is that a house is not equally, the width of a house is not equal all the way through. Why is that? Because it's built out of stone, the walls are built out of stone, so the bottoms are thicker, and they narrow as they go up in height. They narrow out. So as they narrow out, which width do you take? Do you take the width all the way at the top, or do you take the width at the bottom? So they tell you, I take the width of the korot, which are at the bottom, the floorboards. The bottom, don't take the width at the top. The other possibility is because the floorboards have to sit in the walls. So it's not necessarily the width, the usable width of the house, but rather it's the floorboards. The floorboards actually extend into the wall a little bit because they have to, they have windows in which they sit, placements in which they sit. So the boards actually longer than the width, so they didn't use the width of the house, but rather the floorboards because they're slightly longer. Rav Chanina nafak the kriyata. So he went out to the city. Ramulei cry ahadadi. They question him about these psukim. Ktiv. בבית אשר בנו המלך שלמה להשם 60 אמה ערכו ו-20 אמה רחבו. It was 60 by 20 ו-30 אמה קומתו and 30 high. וכתיב לפני הדביר, and then it's talking about the קודש הקודשים, which is the other part of it, right? 20 אמה עורך ו-20 אמה רחב. Right, is 20 by 20. Right? Ve'esrim ama komato, and it's 20 high. So now what you have is the front section is right, 60 by 20.
And 30 high.
And so it's very wide in the front, that we know, right? The Heichal was very wide in the front, so 60 by 20 deep. Then the Kodesh HaKodashim is 20 by 20. So that makes it amazing. It makes it the Kodesh and the Kodesh HaKodashim were 20 by 40. They were 20 by 40. Now they're 20 by 40 by how high? So the problem, the front half of it is 30 high, whereas the back half is 20 high. So why is there a differential between them? So Amaloki Kachashim is fat kuvim and lamala. When he counts, he's counting from the wings of the kuvim and up. So what does that mean for the wings of the kuvim? The kuvim of Shlomo Melech were not on top of the kaporet, were not on the aron themselves, but actually stood on the floor, and they stood 10 amot high. So now when he's counting the 20 amot, it means from above the wings of the kuvim, so 10 amot, so the kuvim are 10 amot high. So when he stipulated 20 amot, it means from the height of the wings upward is 20 amot. So it's really 30 amot high. From the wings up to the top is 20 amot high. Someone says, my kamashlan, just say 30 amot high. Why do you have to say 20 amot from the above the wings? So Akamash Malan, the Mata Kilamalo, the teacher, that which was below the wings was the same as above the wings. Mala Malay Mishamish Kulum, just like above the wings of the Kruvim, there was nothing there. Meaning that if you measured from wall to wall, you would get 20 amot across. 20 amot in every direction because there's nothing there. So too, after Mata Mishamish Kulum, meaning that also below, even though the Aron was there, and even though the Kruvim were there, if you measured a wall to wall, you would get 20 amot. What does that teach us? Right, Messiah, the Rabbi Levi, the teacher of Dhamma Rabbi Levi, Itam Rabbi Yochan, Dhamma Zem Sarat, Biadenum, Kamachom Aron, Ukuvim, Inu Minamida. That the Aron and the Kuvim do not take up any space. So they don't take up any space, it's as if there's nothing there. So if you measured both on top of the Kuvim and below the Kuvim, you would get the same measurements of width and length, which are 20 by 20 amot. Dani and Ami Ochi, we have another brace that supports it. Aron, Shasa Moshe, Yerushal Revach, Eser Amot, the Choruach. The one that Moshe makes, when they put it into the binyan of Shlomo, had 10 amot in every direction. Well, the only way you can have 10 amot in every direction in a building that's 20 by 20 is if it doesn't take up any space. All right, so that's we'll stop over here. One important Tosfos to point out here. It's an interesting Tosfos. If you look in the bottom Tosfos, on the bottom Tarichat, it's only interesting because of the way he speaks about Rashi here. It says, Beperish Mikra, Perish Rashi, on the Torah, not on the Torah, but here Malachim and the Navi, Rashi explains, the Tikra de Aliyat Eichal Aita Gvoa Mishal Kodesh HaKodeshim, that in Ochadami, that the Eichal was actually higher than Kodesh HaKodesh, 30 Amot high, that the Eichal was higher, not only was it wider in the front, like 60 Amot wide, but it was also higher, it was 30 Amot instead of 20 Amot, right, Mishal Kodesh HaKodeshim, Eser Amot, V'lo Ayin Kan, he didn't look carefully, the Gemara Baba Basra, Tosu says, what did he do? The Gemara Baba Basra says that wasn't the case, that they were actually equal over here, not a differential in space, which is interesting that he quotes on Rashi, that he says that Rashi didn't see the Gemara and Baba Basra, didn't carefully look at the Gemara and Baba Basra, otherwise he would have known they were all the same height. And here Rashi stuck to his, what he says in many places in the Sefer Bereshit, which is that he wanted to give a pshat on the psukim. So the pshat is that the Heichal was higher than the Kodesh, Kodeshim. Let's stop over here.